the essential podcast for educators in the UK, made by teachers for teachers.
Hello and welcome to Homework Podcast. Today we are going to look at the issues surrounding leaving a school halfway or partway through the year. And we are very excited to have our very first Homework Podcast guest, who has, in fact, left a school.
Yeah, so Shannon Doherty, as many of you will be aware of from her lovely Twitter activity, she's recently started a school and she'll tell us all about that. She's taken the rather brave and courageous decision to drive from Croydon to Crawley this morning.
And all the seas.
Yeah, and woke up very early to do so. So welcome, Shannon. Hope you enjoy your time in my conservatory.
Thank you.
What a treat on Saturday morning. Okay, so our moments of the week.
Sam's here too, by the way.
Sam's here.
Morning, everybody.
Sam is here too. So our moments of the week. I'm following a theme here, actually. I've realised that most of my moments of the week seem to revolve around pranking people. I'm not entirely sure if this is good for my professional standing in the eyes of our listeners.
But there's a whole file at Ben's school that he's not aware of.
You wait, I'll be in the head's office on my own. Ben, I'm not sure this is working. So lining up to connect our children, a colleague of mine in year six who thinks she is hilarious, decided to fake tripping down the stairs so that she could fall into me. She's only a little lady, she kind of plunged into my back, thought she was hilarious. Kids thought it was brilliant, banter everywhere, it was great. Obviously,
banter everywhere. I love it already.
All the banters happening in one place. I mean, I did think it was slightly unprofessional that she just thought it was appropriate to fake.
Are we talking like a full-on staircase?
It's like two or three steps.
So diving into your arms.
She's only about 4'6".
My height.
I do apologise, Miss Harmony. So she kind of stumbles off these few stairs, plunges into me, knocks me forward. Luckily, I'm built like a brick house.
I'm glad you said it.
So obviously didn't flinch. Anyway, so to get my revenge, once she
jumps on top of her,
just started pounding. Obviously not. Once the classes had left, I quickly nipped into her classroom through the door that she had flown from, and removed her chair. She's off sort of ensuring the children are safe. I was sort of preoccupied with hiding her chair. Removed it from the classroom. There were a couple of kids that were in there. I said, "Don't tell her, don't tell her." Apparently, it took her a good 15 minutes.
I thought she was going to sit down, like trying to go on her chair.
No, unfortunately not. I mean, that would be a better story.
I don't know.
So, anyway, that was my highlight.
Do you want to go, Sam? I'm always jumping ahead of you. Go ahead.
So, as PE leader, one of our roles is to make sure that everyone has enough kit, and often we have some children who sort of need trainers or additional t-shirt, whatever it might be, and I sort of did a little bit of a collection of different shoe sizes, so I had enough to sort of offer around.
That's a normal thing to do.
Where did you collect these from?
I basically want everyone to be able to do PE, and
I've got my exercises
in my cupboard, and kids from time to time do come up to my classroom, often from David's class. Without their trainers.
Sorry, just to clarify, these are shoes that you've just found.
No. So children who have moved on from us and they don't fit in their trainers anymore.
Just like parks around the country.
No, we've always said a teacher never switches up. Isn't it like you go to the dump and there's like a closed donation?
Pair of size ones.
Sam at 11 o'clock at night, furiously searching for some kids' trainers. Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
It's absolutely fine. No. Sorry. To clarify, I would like children to take part in PE if they don't have trainers.
He's taking a moral eyebrow now.
Stop these two jokers, can't let me speak. Right, sorry. Honestly, Shannon, surprise you.
Has Sam mentioned that he quite likes children taking part in PE? I don't
know. Right, anyway. So David's class, I think it's his fault, to be honest. I think they have their trainers.
It's not on purpose.
So I'm teaching, a child comes up, this girl who I do know loves PE, and I want her to take part. And, and I've actually already offered out all the sizes that would definitely fit her. All that's left
it's like a bowling alley.
All that's left is my size 10s.
I don't know how any time to teach.
In and out. All I've got left is my size 10s, and I jokingly give them to her. So I'm really sorry, this is all I've got. She proceeds to put them on happily, goes downstairs, and takes part in a full PE lesson in size 10s.
They're absolutely huge. I'm not sure that was safe.
I'm not sure it is either. The joke was definitely missed. David certainly found it hilarious.
Oh, it's funny.
For those of you that are lifelong listeners, you remember our was it our first podcast where Sam was talking about the young lad in year three that got trampled across country? Was he wearing your size 10?
Quite possibly.
Might be my 11s.
It'll make sense.
Oh my goodness. Oh God, I've got to try and remember mine. Okay, so we have, as a school...
This is the longest memory of the week.
I think it's great. But Shannon's made the ride to be here. We might as well make it a long one. Our school is working with a charity called Achievement for All. Basically, a charity that works on boosting participation, boosting attainment for children who perhaps don't have the same opportunities as others or maybe have barriers sort of getting in the way of them doing so. Now, something that was very new to me is that when this charity works with your school, they pick, or I don't know if they pick, I think your school probably I think your school probably puts forward two individuals, but they're named as your school's champions for this thing. Oh, I hadn't heard about this, but they say, all sitting there in the staff meeting, your school's Yassenden School is my school, I'm very happy to say that, your champions are blah and blah.
Was there a drum roll?
No, I was like, I was delighted for them. I was clapping, I was like, cheering, I was like, brilliant, fantastic. So I thought they'd done something to, to merit this sort of high praise, high platform. The room was dead. I was just like this sort of clapping seal in the corner. I don't know what was going on. But
so they thought you were taking a piss?
Completely. And I genuinely was, as you know, I'm always 100% sincere. So, that was more my sort of cringe moment of the week, but I'm very proud to be, involved,
cheers,
I think he was just jealous.
Absolutely love to be the champion. Will
they get a badge?
I don't know. Probably a lanyard.
A sash of champions. So okay. Well, I'm sure they do fantastic work, and we look forward to hearing how your school journey.
I'll let you know, Ben.
Okay, so on to the crux of why we are here today. Yeah. So, leaving a school partway, whether that's a term, halfway, or suddenly, I guess we haven't, through the year, it's a potentially controversial subject. And we are delighted to say that we have Shannon here to talk to us about. And so, Shannon, do you want to tell us about your story, what you're doing, what your change has been, what's happening?
Okay, so I was at a school for a year and a term, and around the end of September I was offered a promotion at another school. I hadn't really looked for jobs, it just kind of got presented to me, which is very nice, obviously.
Headhunted.
Very nice. I don't like to say the word headhunted.
But you were.
But I was headhunted.
We're all modest here on podcast.
Was it through someone you'd like met?
And their school's in a bit of a situation at the moment, so they need teachers to come in. And it's, a more responsibility. Mm. I'm going to be head of maths when I sort of take that's over nice. After I settled in, which is a big passion of mine. Mm. And I wasn't very happy at my old school anyway.
So, in your mind, were you thinking you'd be sort of perhaps looking for new jobs anyway later?
Yeah, I thought to start for September, I thought I'd complete the year.
Yeah.
But this kind of fell into my lap.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. So that's, I guess, is a big reason for people leaving, isn't it? I mean, you've just touched on promotion there.
Yeah.
And I think I did have a look for the data. There isn't any research particularly that has been done into it, but I would assume that a lot of people that move mid-year, it is down to potentially one of the two reasons that you kind of mentioned there. Firstly, promotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And secondly, just being generally unhappy in the current setting.
Yeah, I guess as well, if you can target both those things that Ben's just mentioned in one move, for you, that must be a real benefit. You must feel better about things. You must be enjoying yourself
absolutely.
A lot more.
It was like a weight lifted the second I'd said I'd go. So I would definitely encourage it.
Were you deliberating for a long time? Like, was the process long when you was the like multi-stage interviews? Was it something that went over a long period of time? Like, how did that move come about?
So it was the end of September, and I went and visited the school the following week, and was told to apply.
Yeah.
And then I was given the job. I didn't have to interview.
You didn't? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Can we ask, so at what stage did you tell your...
Shannon is the queen of diplomacy.
this is great. We'll have to get more guests on.
I love it. I love it.
So, the genuine question, because this is something that I think a lot of people fret over, even at the end of year. Mm. At what point did you tell your previous school? Did you tell them... And obviously we don't need to say anything that you feel might offend anyone. That's not what we're about. But believe it or not,
only each other,
and Hogwarts. And it's genuine. Like, what point did you tell your head teacher? Do you feel that you could have? Would you do it the same way now? When did you tell your class, parents, that kind of stuff?
So I told my head teacher the week before October half term, purely because I was waiting for the offer in writing.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for a day where he was going to be there at the end of the day, because he has two schools, so quite often he's not there. So I had to wait for him to be there, and I had to wait for the offer. So ideally, I probably would have told him a week earlier, so he could have got an advert out maybe before half term. It wasn't ideal.
Can we ask how he took it?
I think he was shocked.
Uh-huh. And I think most heads would be.
And then he congratulated me.
Off you go. How did you feel? Like, I'm guessing this is a feeling quite a few people have. What would you say your emotions were, like, in the build-up to telling him?
Oh, pure anxiety. Like, I felt sick.
Right.
And we touched on it earlier. Is that because, like, I was talking to the lads before we started this morning, that I think when you start teaching and when you train, it is really frowned upon, I feel.
Massively
I think that there is, it is almost a taboo kind of, you're letting the kids down. Yeah, what if you wanted to leave, you should have done this.
You're
going to
have Shannon in tears here.
Essentially, it's just a very bad person. But it's true, isn't it? I mean, as you were saying with your initial teacher training, like, the vibe that you get is just that you just don't do it.
I think certainly, particularly, I know for David and I, the way we got into teaching is we trained in the school we're still at now. Mm. And I think they're making an investment in you. And certainly for the first couple of years, everyone that I know of has pretty much stayed. Mm. And I think that relationship you build with the school would possibly put you in a situation where if you contemplated leaving partway through the year, halfway through the year, you might think, oh, do you know what, I'll hold off till the end and then give the school more of a chance maybe so the school are better prepared. But I guess if you've only been there only a year, Shannon, I guess at that point your decision was already made in your head.
Mm. And also you don't want to miss an opportunity.
No,
yeah.
And that might not come about again.
Yeah.
And I guess... I've never left the school at all. This is the school I've trained in and now still work. I think for me, the one thing in my head that I would struggle with, I'm sure where this taboo idea comes from, is that how did you sort of feel towards the children? What was it that sort of... And that's a tough question to ask.
There's tissues on the side, Shannon.
This is honestly like Jeremy Kyle.
Shannon's got too many teeth.
I apologize for asking that question, but I think that's probably why many teachers don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for you, how was that experience?
I hated having to tell the children, and I mean, actually, I wasn't allowed to tell the children. It had to come out in a letter, so I sort of said to them, there's a letter coming out, we'll talk about it in the morning. And the parents had received the letter by the time they came to the door, so there were lots of parents at the door saying, what's going on? And kids were like, what's happening? And I was like, we'll talk about it later.
So do you think that could have been handled in a different way?
Definitely. I think the teacher should be able to tell the class, because it's your news and you want to explain it to them yourself.
Mm.
You know, I was quite upset that I couldn't tell them. I cried. And I was just like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
But I kind of see the reason for it. But I know that they'll get over it. I'll get over it.
So I think from my perspective, I worked in recruitment prior to being a teacher. So I worked in recruitment for like 4 or 5 years.
Where did you work?
It's not a Hogwarts. I worked in recruitment. I was recruiting people in like
what industry was it?
pharmaceutical industry, medical industry.
I think it was recruitment.
Okay, so Sam really likes children taking part in PE.
I do. David's got a little bit cross there. Sorry, David, you worked in recruitment.
Just as in case I didn't mention, I used to work in recruitment.
And went to Hogwarts.
I've been to Barbados. But, let's be serious. What I find a little bit strange is the process of recruitment in schools. It is so different to anything elsewhere. So my job previously would have involved speaking to a lot of candidates who were already employed, some not employed, but they were looking for career moves a lot of the time. Sometimes I was like headhunting them, so I was working on behalf of companies to find candidates. But anyway, a lot of this role involved preparing candidates for interview, preparing candidates for the process of handing in their notice, their resignation to their employers. What is very tricky at a school is the transparency that seems to be needed with regards to actually interviewing. Now, Shannon's perhaps slightly unique situation involved actually accepting a job without, I'm guessing, your head teacher knowing that you had accepted the job. Whereas a lot of people need to be in a position where they've got to sort of take time off for work to visit schools, to interview schools. And you do have to be totally transparent with your employer in that sense. Yeah. When you're that transparent, there's got to be a concern that your employer is going to realise that you've perhaps got one foot out the door. Most people, and there's huge, like, can't quote exact stats, but there's lots of statistics about people who apply for jobs, leave their, you know, X amount of percent leave their current role within 18 months. You know, people who their mind is sort of elsewhere. I am not actively looking to leave my role at the moment, but I must admit, when it comes to moving forward in teaching, it does cross my mind that that process is going to be very different to anything I've experienced before.
Do you know, it's even more than that, I would say, that, like, it's if you take time out of, well, first and foremost, every head teacher I've ever worked for has always insisted that people have visited the school before they apply, before they're interviewed, etc. So that's one block. You're always prompted, I mean, you'd be daft to not try and visit when the kids are there. So straight away you're taking time out of your day. And then if you do make it to interview, you're then taking time out of your day again. So not only is it that you need to make the head teacher aware, but realistically, the whole faculty are aware. Because if I just disappeared from school for two afternoons, well, someone needs to cover. I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not going to flatly lie to them. And no matter how kind of could you keep the students, like, straight away, it becomes a thing.
And even if you stay.
And it's, oh, why do you want to leave? What's going on?
Like, something we're doing wrong.
And even if you decide, say you do look at other schools and you decide, actually, the grass isn't greener, I want to stay at my school. Even then, there are going to be, I would imagine, nagging doubts in the mind of the head teacher. This person perhaps isn't going to be there long term. Let's not give them too much responsibility. It does affect your day-to-day job. Every other job I've ever gone to, every other job I've ever moved to, and I've probably had 5-6 employers in my lifetime, I've accepted jobs without my current employer having the foggiest, a bit like Shannon. And then you essentially give in your notice, and there is that period of slightly uncomfortable time sometimes where, you know, but you can do that because you know it's absolutely in space.
Yeah, it's different because when I left my first school, obviously I had to tell them that I was looking for jobs, but that was at the end of the year, so I think she sort of expected it. Whereas this was very odd, being a bit kind of like cloak and dagger about it, and I didn't want to tell him until I knew for sure.
But even with, like, your colleagues, was there any resentment there? Was it, did they feel it was a good move for you as a professional? Or?
Yeah, they knew that it was the right time to go, and they kind of were happy that I could move on before the end of the year.
I think if you're moving sort of onwards and upwards as well, if you've got promotion, I think if your friends and your colleagues sort of value you and what you've done, they'll really appreciate the fact that you clearly deserve that step up.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be quite important. If a school sees someone leaving and going upwards, clearly that's because you've done a great job. If you were moving, if you're moving,
go you.
Thanks,
if
you're
moving, I was trying to make amends.
If you're going to the same role at a different school without any promotion, then possibly more questions could be asked.
Yeah. I think there'd be perhaps different motivations. And I know I would say, actually, and I'm sure she won't mind us mentioning it, like Emily Weston has obviously been to new schools. And I know that she felt similarly. It was that she was unhappy in her previous school, as she actually wrote into us, didn't she, for our previous podcast. And I think that is the other big kicker, is if you actually just feel that you don't fit in the school setting that you're in.
I think fit is absolutely the right word, because as we know, every school is different, and it's unlikely there is a school that's going to make every single teacher happy. There's probably things about your last school, Shannon, that worked absolutely brilliantly for some teachers. There's probably things about your new school that you like that teachers at your previous school wouldn't. And I think what I get, I guess there is a sense, I get a feel that schools perhaps have this, like, team feel amongst their staff. They're, you know, like a sort of, we are a little community, and there is almost like I've never been a head teacher, but I'm guessing there's almost like a little worry of, oh, betrayal. Is it because I'm not doing it leading the way you like? Is that a direct sort of impact on me? Whereas it's just a unique thing. It's a personal circumstance thing. It could be the hours, it could be the location, it could be the catchment, it could be class sizes, how many forms are in a year group. You know, there's so many factors. And I think personal development is absolutely one as well. You might want to experience different things. I'm working at a junior school. I've never worked at a school with infants. Some people have worked at an infant school without juniors. You know, there's so many factors.
So, but is there an element of playing devil's advocate? And I know there will be people that disagree with staff leaving mid-year. Is there an element of that still going to be there?
It's a personal thing, isn't it? I mean, we are teachers. The school operates on a, you know, three-term basis throughout the school year, but people's lives don't necessarily have to operate on that basis. Yep. It might be that Shannon would love to get her... Oh, you can speak for yourself, I'm sure, but it might be that it worked, you know, it might be that it just works for you very nicely to do this, get a feel, as you say, for the new role you're taking, and then you'll be able to smash the next academic year in your new role with that experience of those two terms. So I think it's so easy to come up with words like letting the children down and this, but children are generally quite resilient, children adapt, and you know, teachers have to essentially look after number one at times, and your job, your employer, your paycheck, that is what has to be at the forefront. Believe
so. Can I ask then, if there wasn't a promotion, would you have taken the job? If it's too personal, you don't have to answer that. I think if we were able to interview 80%, and I'm sure she won't mind me saying it, but Mrs. P, she is my current deputy head teacher. She left mid-year to join us to move from being, I believe, I'm sure she'll correct me, but ahead of key stage, certainly ahead of year, to become our deputy head.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I'm sure she'll tell me, but I don't think that she would have made that move to us to just, in inverted commas, be head of key stage, because she was already in that position.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
Would you, I'm not saying you wouldn't necessarily have gone to a different school, but would you have gone mid-year, do you think, if there hadn't been a promotion?
I don't know. The head that I'm working for now is someone that I've always wanted to work for, and I don't know if the opportunity would have been there to go in September.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe I still would have gone.
Life is very much, like, without getting too philosophical, timing does play quite a key role, doesn't it? And it certainly has to. Yeah. I mean, my school, Sam's school, our deputy head, a relatively new deputy head, left midway through last academic year, so left last Christmas to take on a headship at a brand new school. That was obviously a fantastic opportunity for him, and timing-wise, very unlikely to be an opportunity that would come up at a later stage. Mm-hmm. So he went for it.
I think it does have its own complication. If something comes up that's so good for you as individuals, you have to take it.
And I think there is an element of, and I, perhaps this is me being a cynic, but if jobs come up mid-year, especially if it's a promotion, there is a sector of people that might be suitable for the job that won't go for it because they don't feel that they should leave mid-year.
I think
so. And I'm not at all saying that's what's happened with you, because it wasn't, because you knew the head teacher. But, for example, if a job is advertised tomorrow for a head of Key Stage 1 or whatever, there must be people out there thinking, well, I've got a better chance. For example, this gentleman that you're describing, I'm sure he's a fantastic leader, I'm sure he's brilliant at his job, but it being a new school and it being perhaps a thing that but some people won't go for it because they don't want to leave mid-year. It does shorten
it. It gave him a leg.
There's no problem. I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging that.
I think our profession, one pretty much any other, is open to the greatest amount of judgment from anyone if we decide to leave. Whether even at the end of the year, people question, oh, but why? Like, this is a great school. It's often personal, but it becomes very personal very quickly. And I think you can be judged and you can be looked upon as if, if they're leaving, then maybe someone else might leave.
It's almost that iceberg mentality, isn't it? That parents see the tip of the iceberg and they don't see, which is the public face.
Yeah. And I'm sure parents
and they don't see everything else.
And they wonder if their child's in year three, say, and then all of a sudden all the year four teachers have gone, they might think, well, why? What's going on there? And I think, like, for David and I, just to touch on sort of where we're at, we've never moved schools. For us, we've never been through that process of interviewing elsewhere or even having to ask for days out to go and watch schools. But I think it will be quite an eye-opening experience for both of us when that time does eventually come, because the idea of the grass being greener, we don't really know. But also, just that sort of whole mentality of switching to a new school
is
something that I'm sure we feel confident enough to go about it, but it will be quite odd.
It's adapting. Yeah,
yeah, it's very odd.
I mean, how are you finding adapting to your new system? Because everything can change, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I've sort of slipped in and it's fine. I mean, I've only been there a week.
Fine is such a good adjective. It's been tolerable.
Mighty fine.
I've slipped in. I kind of understand routines. I made sure I had like all of the policies and stuff, so I knew what I was doing.
Have you read them all cover to cover? Be
of
honest.
Course.
And
yes.
Signed and dated.
Definitely.
In your special folder. Uh-huh. Has there been other staff joining in the new year? Because you said they're employing a few, or there was certainly a few.
They've had a staff kind of switch around. So the assistant head's gone into year six. The year six teacher's gone down to year three.
Mid year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that is
because they had year three and four teachers go. So there's been a bit of a switch, but everyone's sort of taken to it quite well.
How's things in terms of sort of just, I don't know, commute to work? Is that improved? Is other aspects of your life become better because of the change?
Yeah, so my commute to work is now like 6 minutes, where it was like 40 before.
That's massive.
Huge. And that adds up across the year.
Mm.
So again, I guess the promotion factor obviously came into that as well, because without it, it would have been something that you'd had to have considered or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's a change in lifestyle, I guess, as well, rather than just a change in job.
Yeah.
Another thing I was going to mention when Sam talked about the fact that he and myself haven't been in a position where we have left a school. But something that crops up, it often crops up on Twitter, actually, and it often crops up, I'm sure Sam wouldn't mind me saying, it crops up in conversations between ourselves from time to time, is that there will come a point where, for our own career progression, we feel that it would be beneficial to experience a different school, a different school with different situations. And I do wonder, because I've seen people say you should never stay at your first school for X amount of years. Some people say 3 years,
well,
5 years.
You ran a poll, didn't you, the other day? About whether or not how appropriate it would be, or when people feel that you should leave a school, your first school.
Yeah, and I think the poll I ran was actually based on how long you did stay at your original school.
Right, yeah.
I think off the top of my head, the majority actually had stayed at their first post beyond 5 years,
yeah,
which surprised me.
I honestly
thought there'd be less, but then there was quite a steady, I think it was something like 50% after 5 years, 15 after three, 15 after two. And
Do you know that? I think a lot of people can fall into a comfort bracket.
Mm.
And I think that, I mean, this is absolutely a conversation for another podcast, but what do teachers do after 15 years of teaching? If you just want to be a class teacher, and there's nothing wrong with just
being a class absolutely.
Teacher. But there's that element of pay. There's that element of, you potentially feel like you're just on a treadmill, just repeating the same cycle over and over and over. I know the Chartered College have tried to address it with this chartered status teacher, but
I'm not sure what that is.
As much as I can see what they're trying to do and give some sort of professional recognition, it's almost like this Leeds teacher element from the past few years. But what can people do? And I think that if you find a school that you're comfortable in, if you just want to remain a class teacher, plenty of people think, well, why would I move?
Ensuring as well, isn't it, if you're there for a number of years. I think Dave and I, we are very fortunate. We work at a school where there's, as we previously mentioned on the podcast, there's a number of men who are working there. And I think for me, one of the aspects that's made it so easy to stay is the fact that I've got such a good group of friends.
Mm.
And I think if I was in a situation where I felt very differently to that, that would make it certainly one aspect of why I'd possibly move away. But like, there does become things within a school, whether it's location, whether it's your colleagues, whether it's all manner of things. Things keep people in places for certain reasons, and that's for me one of the reasons that I've never really thought about leaving, and that will be one of the toughest reasons that I do eventually have to walk away, and what I'll be sad to leave behind.
Will you take your trainer collection?
I'll take my trainer collection.
Will you take David?
Possibly David.
I think he might.
If we go somewhere together.
Yeah, that'd be so good.
That would be really, like the Anton Deck.
they're not together anymore, are they?
They're not together.
So you need a Hollywood.
So it's going to be a Hollywood.
You're talking about Sam being a lovely strawberry blonde, so I don't know.
So Shannon, how many schools is this for you then?
Three.
And you left, your first school you left at the end of the year?
Yes.
And I do think it is something that I think most people probably won't ever leave mid-year, and it does seem that it is those two categories. Well, I would actually say, so promotion, distinctly unhappy, or a change in perhaps family circumstances. Whether that means that you need to drop a day, whether that means that you're adapting to a job share, whether that means that you need to have a shorter commute, etc., etc. Okay, well,
I think it's really interesting.
It's certainly something that I think is worth looking at again when we come back to this at the end of the year. Something I did think actually was worth mentioning, you're talking about recruitment, and I know that a lot of head teachers now are practicing this thing called guerrilla recruitment.
Oh, God.
Some psychologist or some theorist wrote it in a book somewhere. So basically, and my school did this.
Yeah.
So basically, the idea is that if you know someone that you think would be good for the job, there is a financial incentive.
Oh, like a referral fee, isn't it?
Almost like a referral fee. That's very common in the private sector. And I know that's very common in the private sector, but I've never come across it in the public sector before. So the idea that actually, if it costs people £200 or whatever to place an advert in a paper, or how I would have no conception, I'd assume it's far more than that.
Yeah.
It's cheaper, actually, to recruit through people that you know and people that have got a rapport and people that you can trust, etc. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, let's be honest, it's absolutely balmy, the structure of teacher recruitment.
I think it's like
West
so
Sussex have a really
dated,
clunky,
so dated.
Like, un-user-friendly, user-unfriendly, un-user-friendly.
I mean, the whole...
we'll go with both.
The whole process of teacher recruitment, as you say, is, in from my brief experience, very, very dated, very...
Has it changed since computers? For the last 20 years, has it changed?
No, and part of the actual interview process is, again, like a short lesson with a class you don't know, of children's needs that you're not really sure of. And we often see, like, people popping up on Facebook groups, don't we? Like, what should I do for an interview lesson?
I've got to share this. And I do... If you are the person that posted this, then... I'm not judging your circumstance, but sure. I am going to say...
It's Shannon.
On a particular nameless Facebook group this week, there's a person... whose gender shall not be revealed, shared a picture of her task. Oh, just revealed. shared a picture of their task, genuinely, for a senior position, and asked for help on a Facebook group. During the interview process. And I mean, I know there's limited... That's not the school's fault, that's not technology's fault. But I think this whole kind of... structure of recruitment, as you say, needs looking at. Because if she wasn't so nervous about the fact that I'm giving you this task and you've got an hour to prepare for it and then you're going to have to do this and then you're going to have to do this, then there wouldn't be that level of panic and that level of help me, because it's a concerning situation.
It's an odd experience, and you're right, I doubt it's changed, to be honest. We obviously have been teaching X number of years ourselves, but way before that I'm sure it's very, very similar to what it is.
But I think there's actually a petition, isn't there, to create a national database, because if I wanted to look at jobs in Surrey, I have to go through an entirely different structure to even do that. And then you end up going to recruitment agencies like eTeach and stuff like that. And again, I must admit, their system is clunky. And I think that if we're going to retain and we're going to recruit, make it as easy as possible for people to do that.
I think as you say, the recruitment process when it comes to an interview day as well, it just doesn't... If I was a head teacher, I wouldn't truly feel that that was giving me... a very accurate perspective of the teacher that I was, or the teachers that I was looking to employ at all. What you may have is quite a, quite a shy individual in adult company, perhaps, who is fantastic at building relationships with a class over a period of time and teaches superbly, who is on top of, like, attainment, who is fantastic with data, all of these things that you don't really see at an interview. Whereas you could get, like... somebody who can come in and absolutely smash a half an hour showy lesson and sit in front of a panel of adults and talk very charismatically. And it's not really giving you... that could impress on the day, but you don't know what you're getting in September or wherever they're actually turning up to teach.
Well, maybe that is a topic for another pod. How do we experts feel we should be recruiting?
Homework. Made for Teachers. by teachers.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. We did talk about making you some sort of badge as our first guest, but unfortunately,
a sash
we never got around to it.
Isn't it?
But yes, have you enjoyed your homework podcast experience in this lovely conservatory in sunny?
I should put the heating back on.
It is chilly and
it's
cold.
It's been lovely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
And have a very safe trip home to Croydon.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
For much more content exclusively for teachers by teachers, visit homeworkmagazine.co.uk. Also, please follow us on social media at homework_magazine and at homework_podcast. Homework Podcast is brought to you by Iguanas Producciones.